And welcome into another week of True Talk with Coach Mincy here on 1010XL on this Monday night from Island Wing Company in Tinseltown. And we've got some JU faithful with us as well. The softball team out. We got some fraternity and sorority members out. Jacksonville University turning out here on a Monday night again for head coach Jordan Mincy's one-hour radio show. We take you up to 7 o'clock here on this Monday, talking all things JU hoops and more. Coach, great to see you again. Good to be back in Jacksonville, Florida, after spending some time in Jacksonville, Alabama.
Absolutely.
I had a friend text me on Saturday. He's like, hey, you in town? I go, I am in Jacksonville, .. Alabama. He was disappointed.
Yeah.
But we're coming off this road trip, and, you know, tough one as far as, you know, physically, logistically, to get through the state of Alabama, play kind of almost two different ends of the state, play two tough teams on the road. I mean, it's never easy when you get those back-to-back on the road, but able to split it, and, you know, it's always good when you can come home from a road trip with at least one win in your pocket, right?
That's true. I was proud of our guys and the way they competed in both games. You know, the second game at Jacksonville State didn't necessarily go the way we wanted to, but at the same time, our guys competed at a high level. And so, you know, versus North Alabama, I felt like the last, you know, 5 or 4 minutes of the game, we really controlled the pace and the tempo of the game. And we hit some big shots, you know. And going into Jacksonville State, it was a back-and-forth battle. And, you know, in that last, you know, 4 to 3 minute segment of the game, I felt like, you know, they made some shots when they needed to. And our guys, we just weren't able to capitalize. And so our defense held up. Our identity was true to who we are. But at the same time, like I said, we're happy we were able to split. But at the same time, you know, we wish we got both of them.
Hey, let's start with the first part of that road trip, the win again in Florence, in Flowers Hall. That's a place that this program had never won before. It was a bit of a house of horrors over the years. some close games, a lot of close games, but just ones in which we were never able to hit the big shots down the stretch to win a game. And about halfway through that second half, things started to turn. Really, how did you work through maybe some of the frustration through the first three quarters of that game and keeping the guys together and locked in on the focus when things weren't easy on the offensive end for much of that game?
You know, our guys were defending at such a high level, and, you know, both teams were really struggling to score. And so if you see in the second half, we kind of were able to start, you know, putting the ball through the hoop. And a lot of that was due to, you know, we had to make some adjustments, whether it was putting Kevin Young in ball screens more or just moving, you know, different guys around. And credit to their staff and, you know, their head coach for doing a great job scouting us. You know, they really took us out of what we were trying to do. And then we had to make some adjustments. And we always talk about as a staff, you know, basketball is a game of adjustments. And the team that usually finds out what adjustments to make first is usually the team that ends up winning. And so for us, we felt like we made some adjustments on the offensive end that led to us getting that victory.
All right, so looking more at that game and how this team was able to kind of work through some of the difficulty in the course of the evening, we saw Kevion Nolan, you mentioned, but also Bryce Workman really come through. And I thought this was a big weekend for Bryce. I mean, he was able to go through and battle to two really good performances there and physical performances. He had to kind of hold up his own on both ends of the floor and was able to find some success on both ends. Where did you see Bryce's performance and execution throughout the course of the weekend?
You know what? We're always extremely proud of Bryce and, you know, how he's developed as a man first off the court. But, you know, at the same time on the court, he's starting to live up to, you know, what everybody thought he would be coming into the season. Very, very talented at scoring the ball on the offensive end. He has a great feel for the game. And, you know, the last few games, not only this weekend, but last week, but going into the you know, this season, we knew that Bryce was very gifted offensively. And so to be able to see him kind of get out of a slump that he had for a couple games and kind of get back to himself and who we all believe he could be, it's exciting for our team.
It was big this weekend to see him perform the way he was able to and this team go out there and do what they were able to do throughout the course of really two really tough ones on the road. I mean, all of them are hard on the road, right? Like,
yes.
There's no such thing as an easy road game, but to sit there and find ways on that Thursday night with the challenges that we already described was great. But then, you know, you have to continue the trip. You go down to Jacksonville State, and there was adversity, toughness. I mean, we knew that team coming into the game was not going to be rolling over, per se. They had just come off a loss, their first league loss of the year. I mean, how did you all address going into that game to try and get the guys prepared, knowing that you're probably going to get kind of an angry team that was ready to defend home court?
Well, we knew it was going to be a physically taxing game, and we knew going into the game that, you know, they were coming off a loss, and so it wasn't any, you know, we weren't going to be able to go in there and sneak any victories by them. And so, like I said, our guys, they were up to the challenge. It was a back-and-forth battle throughout the course of the game. We just felt like, you know, down the stretch they made some offensive plays, and we didn't. But at the same time, like I said, I was just proud of our guys' effort. You know, you get an opportunity to see a team that's, you know, at the top of the league right now. And it's a veteran team that's been together for a long time in comparison to our team that's, you know, fairly new. You know, a lot of these guys we talk about as a staff, they've been together for seven, 8 months. And so to be able to see us compete at that level, to be able to see, you know, where we match up against the rest of the league for us, is a great test for us. And going forward, especially going into the conference tournament later on, after we finish the season, it's a good test to know where we have to get to in order to compete for that conference title.
I know I asked you this in kind of the first moments after that game on Saturday, but now that you've had a chance to look at the road trip collectively, you know, where did you feel like this team maybe took a step, took some lessons, grew throughout the course of what they were able to do in Alabama last week?
I think our chemistry playing together is coming along. You know, certain guys are starting to figure out their strengths, whether it's a guy like Tyrese Davis, catch and shoot, three-point shooter, whether it's a guy like Bryce Workman, who understands, you know what, I can be aggressive in the post. I can make plays out of the post, and these guys can rely on me. So I think guys are starting to figure out their identity. You know, Kevin Nolan, he was kind of in the slump, and we kind of talked about that on our previous show. But you see, he was able to be aggressive, even though, you know, the defense is trying to do everything, whether it's face guard him, trap on ball screens, whatever it may be. He was able to, you know, get a certain comfort zone and adjust to the defense, and he was able – to kind of break out of that shell. And so to be able to see some guys have some individual offensive success for us, you know, like I said, we feel like that's a blessing.
We talked about it with Kevion right here last week about him going back to Alabama, playing in front of a bunch of family and friends, and boy, did they show out in the Pete on Saturday. What, you know, did you talk with him at all ahead of that one about, you know, the situation where he was going into, knowing that he would be in a unique spot, playing home in front of a lot of supporters and maybe wanting to do a little too much?
You know what? We actually sat in the Jax Airport, and we had a chance. We probably had a layover about 2 hours. And so being able to sit there and talk to him, I said, hey, are you excited about going home and playing? And he said, you know what? A lot of the individuals who are going to be there, they haven't had the opportunity to see me play since high school. And so, you know, he was excited. He's always excited to be able to play in front of his mom and his dad. But Kevion's not a young man who's really moved by who's watching him. He's more, you know, motivated by trying to win the game. Yeah. And so he plays the game the right way. He takes pride. And every time you're out there, you know he's trying to win the game. And so no matter who's in the stands, he's always in character.
He is head coach Jordan Mincy. I'm Scott Manzi. We're here at Island Wing Company in Tinseltown. We've got the Jacksonville softball team here tonight, and they are showing out for us as we continue along on to 7 p.m. here on 1010XL with True Talk with Coach Mincy. Coach, let's look ahead a little bit this week. A chance to come back home, play a couple of games. Always nice when you get back home into Swisher Gym, but we're entering crunch time. Does it feel like things are getting a little bit different as you get ready to play games when we're in the final couple weeks of the season versus maybe some of those early ones?
You know what, Scott? We talk to our guys about having the same mentality every game. As you know, I mean, we started out with Florida Gulf Coast, and it was a shot that came down to win the game. And so every game that we play in, we feel like it's a 2 to 3 to 4 point victory. And so every game is the same. We have the same level of preparation. We feel like no game is bigger than the next. And so we know we got a EKU team that's, you know, been a little injured. But at the same time, if they're at full health and full strength, they're extremely dangerous. You know, they were preseason number three to finish third in the A-Sun, according to the coaches' poll. And so we know they're extremely talented, you know, got a wealth of respect for their coaching staff. But at the same time, our guys just focus on the next game and try to make sure we carry out our game plan.
Let's get into that next game a little bit here with Eastern Kentucky coming in. I mean, they are, like you said, a team that was expected to do a lot, have probably been a little frustrated themselves with their own performance throughout the course of conference play, a little bit of an up-and-down season for them thus far, but my goodness, talented. Names all over the roster, a lot of high major transfers. Some of that is similar to what you see at JU, but they've had a chance to institute it a little bit more. I mean, under A.W. Hamilton, they won 24 games, I think, last year, and they have a unique style, don't they? Can you go into a little bit about how the way they try to play and how what fans might expect to see come Wednesday evening when that game takes place?
Yeah, they play a high possession style of basketball, as we like to say with our staff. You know, defensively, they press the entire game. So for 40 minutes, you know that they're going to press you and try to get after you. They're our leader. They're the leader in our conference in turnovers. You know, they're causing about anywhere between 16, 17 turnovers a game. And, you know, they like to shoot a lot of threes, whether it's threes. And their philosophy is, you know, either three-pointers or layups at the rim. And so they really test your defense, being that at times, you know, traditionally majority teams play four round one. Well, a lot of times they're five out, and so they have five guys who can shoot a three-pointer at a very high level. And so for us, our guys really have to be on it. Being able to sit down, guard, and close out with active hands and make sure that we kind of take away that three-point shot. I don't know if you can stop it, but at the same time, we just got to make sure every three is contested.
Is it one of those unstoppable forces meets immovable object type games with the defense of Jacksonville against that fast-paced, high-flowing offense of Eastern Kentucky?
You know what? Sometimes we say this. You know, everybody says our defense is at an elite level at times. And sometimes I say, you know what? It is at the elite level, but sometimes shooters have to miss too.
Yeah.
And if shooters miss, it makes our defense look like it's elite. And so I just hope it's one of those nights that Eastern Kentucky's off. But at the same time, like I said, they're extremely talented. I know they've been hampered by injury. But at the same time, man, those guys can light it up on any given night.
And I know you're not going to look too much more forward, but we won't have a chance to talk until after this game is played. But finally – maybe finally is not the right word, but it feels really late in the season to be turning around and playing a second opponent for the second time. Here we are halfway through the month of February, and it's still new, fresh opponents every time out. Now you get to turn around, play the division second time over. And, of course, the first team on the schedule in that regard is the top team in the division, Liberty, and what was a really challenging one up in Lynchburg about a month ago. How do you feel that things could be better for Jacksonville this time around, being at home, it being a month later in the season since the last matchup?
You know what? It was a great test, and it humbled us. You know, our guys, we were kind of riding a wave. We felt like we were playing at a very high level. And to go into a place like Liberty and get punched right in the face, it humbles you. It lets you know that, you know what, you have to get back to working and getting back to the basics. And that's what it did for us. And we know that they're a good team. They're not just, you know, they don't just have one good player. They have a good team. They have a good staff. They have a great culture in place. And so, like I said, you know, the Jacksonville States of the world, the Liberties of the world, you know, we understand that those are teams, those are programs that are established. And, you know, that's where we're trying to strive to get to. But at the same time, we know what we're capable of. Our guys are extremely confident in themselves. And, you know, our staff is extremely confident in our guys and their ability to compete at a high level. And so it'll be a great test for us. Like I said, it'll be a great test for us the second time around. But, like I said, we definitely going to try to give a better effort than our first performance. Trust me on that.
What's the excitement level for the guys to be back home and get a chance to play some more in front of those fans at Swisher Gym?
I told you this last time, Scott. It's nothing like Swisher. You know, when you're in Swisher and, you know, you have a packed crowd, our students have been unbelievable. You know, our students come, they show up, you know, the community shows up. And so that's why we've been undefeated at home. You know, every time we get in there, in the Swisher Gymnasium, you feel like there's no chance we're going to lose, because I don't know if it's a magical place or whatever it may be, but when you have that feel and you're between those four walls, Swisher's a very special place.
It has been special this season. Jacksonville undefeated still at home this season, and we're hoping to see big crowds again on Wednesday night and Saturday night. Jacksonville hosting Eastern Kentucky on Wednesday night. Of course, if you can't make it out to Swisher, which we certainly hope to see you out there, but if you can't, you know, you're around, you're maybe outside of the city, you know where you can tune in. We'll have the broadcast for you right here on 1010XL. Myself and Artis Gilmore, the Hall of Famer, will be bringing you all the action. And then again on Saturday, as Jacksonville hosts Liberty, the Flames coming in first place in the East Division, and they are second place overall in the A-Sun Conference. So it is tough at the top in this league, and Jacksonville getting to play the two best teams in the league in successive Saturdays, one on the road, one at home. But, hey, They say you got to, what, break rocks to make diamonds, something
Absolutely.
Like that. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how Jacksonville handles that one. I'm excited for that one already to see how this team equates itself against the best in Liberty. So EKU on Wednesday, Liberty on Saturday, another full week of Jacksonville basketball, and the game's airing right here on 1010XL. We'll step aside when we come back. We're going to recognize a few of the folks here in attendance tonight. And I know that you have a little personal connection with some of them as well. So we'll dive into that as we continue True Talk with Coach Mincy here on Monday night at Island Wing Company on 1010XL.
This is your head coach, Jordan Mincy, of your Jacksonville Dolphins on 1010XL.
Back here at Island Wing Company in Tinseltown, True Talk with Coach Mincy rolling along here on a Monday night. And we are excited to see plenty of people out supporting the show again, listening to a little bit of Jacksonville basketball talk throughout the course of the evening, and hope to see many of these same folks out at Swisher Gym this week. Wednesday night, Jacksonville hosting Eastern Kentucky at 7 o'clock, and then on Saturday, the Dolphins play host to Liberty. That's a 6 o'clock tip, both of those taking place at Swisher Gym right there on campus in the heart of Arlington. All right, Coach Mincy back with me, Scott Manzi, as we continue along here on this Monday. We already shouted out the Jacksonville softball team in attendance here tonight. We're going to get head coach Erica Ayers. She's going to join us the beginning of the third segment here this evening and talk about her team a little bit as they get ready to start off their season this weekend. They got the River City Showdown. I want to get that name right. River City Leadoff. There we go. I know I had it pulled up for a reason. So that's coming up this weekend, and a bunch of teams coming into town to play at the Debbie and Fred Pruitt Softball Complex. So we'll talk about that in segment number three here tonight and hear from Coach Ayers. But we also want to shout out several of the other members who are non-athletic who are here tonight, not part of an athletic team, that is. I'm sure they're plenty athletic. But we've got several representatives from several organizations here on campus, including Phil McBean from the JU Organized Black Aerospace Professionals, Victoria Richard from the Caribbean Students Association, Ariana Williams from the Black Student Union, Riel Gibson from the National Panhellenic Council, Shinori Stanley from Alpha Kappa Alpha, Prentice Barker from Kappa Alpha Psi, and Deontay Farmer-Walton from Alpha Pi Alpha. And I believe you got a connection to one of those organizations. Isn't that right?
I do. You know what? I was blessed to pledge Kappa Alpha Psi when I was in school. And so I tell people all the time, you know, Kappa helped make me who I am. And, you know, life lessons outside of sports. You know, obviously being an athlete, you have discipline, you have accountability. But Kappa Alpha Psi allowed for me to see life through a different lens. And so, like I tell people all the time, and I even tell our players, you know, being able to have that fraternity lifestyle, it allows for you to have the full college experience. And like I said, it was a blessing to be able to be a member of Kappa Alpha Psi while in college. And like I said, going on, even after, you know, my undergrad years, I've been a lifelong member. And so it's changed my life in multiple ways, and it's helped make me the man I am today.
I went to a school that did not have Greek life in that way, so I don't necessarily know it or understand it at the full level. And on television, it's depicted one way, but can you, and not in a way that maybe necessarily is always indicative of the experience for everybody, but can you go in a little bit more to some of the experiences you had during your time and how enlightening those were for you, as you said, preparing you for kind of this stage of your life?
Scott, I think you said it best. You know, it's enlightening from the standpoint that it tests you. You know, it tests your mental more so than your physical. And oftentimes, you know, when you want to quit, it allows for you not to be able to have that option to quit. And so, like I said, I was a member. It teaches you life lessons every minute, every second of the day. And then at the same time, when you're talking about having a brotherhood, you know, it teaches you that. You know, a lot of times, guys that I was in the fraternity with, they didn't have a brother. And so being able to understand the brotherhood, being able to understand how you need to be involved in the community, it gave me that aspect. And so, like I said, being able to be in a fraternity and be a student athlete, it was a great mix for me. And it allowed me to see life through multiple lenses. And like I said, it was a blessing.
What about that brotherhood continuing after the fact? I mean, I think that's one of the big pluses, right?
Huge.
And you're able to – And I know as people are able to create fraternities amongst themselves as far as like true friend groups that you're able to hold on throughout. I've got a core group of friends from college that I love dearly to this very day. We talk almost daily. But for what have you been able to do to stay connected with a lot of those guys that you pledged with or were in the fraternity with, and how have you all maintained that connection over the years?
So you mentioned, you know, a lot of guys that I pledged with, we, you know, our whole thing is achievement in every field of human endeavor. And so when you surround yourself with individuals who are all trying to be successful, you know, iron sharpens iron. And so for me, you know, a small example, when I got married, the men who stood behind me were oftentimes, you know, one or two childhood friends, but they were my fraternity brothers. They were my college teammates. And so for me, being able to have an individual that understood and has the same morals, the same value system that I have, and to be able to have somebody push me, even when I feel like I'm about to fail, I can pick up the phone and call any time of the night, and they're going to say, hey, man, I'm right there with you. I got you. I'm pushing right beside you, man. You're capable. You're good enough. It's always good to have that type of reinforcement. And so, like I said, that's what Kappa Alpha Psi did for me. It allowed for me to have that brotherhood, that encouragement, that level of pursuit of success that I needed, especially as a young age, you know, a young man. And so you get it through athletics, but at the same time, it's never a negative to have another source that can push you in that direction of being successful.
One of the other aspects of all those groups we just highlighted is they're all black-led groups. I mean, yes. We're talking about aerospace professionals, organized black aerospace professionals group, the Caribbean Students Association. Those are all predominantly black fraternities and sororities that we highlighted there. And it is Black History Month right now in the month of February. So for you, you're a black man.
Yes.
You're the head coach. I mean, I'm stating obvious facts here. But you're the head coach of this program. And where do you try to use maybe your stature, your experiences from growing up the way you grew up to help the guys on your team, to help others in the community, things like that?
So whether it was being, you know, a member of Kappa Alpha Psi or, you know, being a young man who grew up in the inner city of Memphis, Tennessee, I try to use the life lessons that I've had along the way and basically just tell my players, look, I've walked in your footsteps. I understand some of the challenges that you've had growing up, and I understand that. But at the same time, there's always different opportunities. There are always, you know, even though you have trials and tribulations that you go through, success is always at the end of that path, and it's the way that you look at it. You know, a lot of times we'll talk about failure. Well, failure is a learning lesson. It's the ability to be able to learn, have a learning lesson, make the change to the imperfections that you have to be able to make yourself better and to make your team better, whatever it may be, whatever situation it may be. And so, like I said, it is Black History Month. I will say Jacksonville University has done an unbelievable job of, you know, promoting Black History Month, especially on campus. But at the same time, it's a blessing to be able to see, you know, different fraternities and sororities, different organizations from JU be here to support tonight and let you know that, like I said, I'm a living example of it, whether it's student life on campus or being an athlete. Both those worlds can intermingle and be successful and have a great vibe.
He's head coach Jordan Mincy. I'm Scott Manzi. We're here at Island Wing Company. It's True Talk with Coach Mincy on this Monday night on 1010XL. And, Coach, I want to kind of get back a little bit into, you know, this month, February, and a little bit of something that's in the news. Obviously, what's going on in the NFL right now with Brian Flores is kind of dominating the headlines. It's a moment in which the league is maybe finding itself reckoning with itself and maybe too late at this point, but better late than never. And I'm not going to ask you to comment on hiring practices in the NFL. That's not exactly your lane. But for you and your experience coming up through the coaching ranks as a black man, how was the experience for you? What ways are you maybe trying now to make it better for those that you have an opportunity to bring onto your staff to train as young coaches, things along those lines?
So, you know, when you're a young black coach in the profession, a lot of times you can be labeled as just a recruiter. And you know, a lot of times because you may be younger in age and you have the ability to bridge that gap in that relationship, people want to say that, you know, your basketball knowledge may not be on point as well as your recruiting skills and abilities. And so to be able to prove that you have a basketball IQ, to be able to know that you know the game and you can see the game just as good as anybody. Doesn't matter, you know, what race, what color, whatever it may be, but that you're elite at your skill set. And so, you know, young black men that I see coming through the profession, I oftentimes challenge them to say, hey, look, don't just be a great recruiter. Make sure you're continuously working on your craft, whether it's player development, learning X and O's, being able to learn late-game situations, whatever it may be, you have to work to be able to be excellent at your craft. And I think, you know, it doesn't matter what color you are, that's any coach. If you want to be one of the best coaches, whatever sport it may be, you got to put your time in, you got to put your work in, and you have to be able to be on top of your craft. And so, by nature, if you're an athlete and you go into coaching, you're competitive. And so that competitive edge takes over. And so being able to always be a student of the game, that's part of you. And so, like I said, it's always a learning lesson. You never know too much. And I challenge anybody, no matter what color, to always be a student of life. Continue to learn as much information as you can, and to dive into whatever religion, whatever race, and find out, you know, what are some of the special things that make those races special. And for me, like I said, that's what I'm blessed to do as a coach. I get to recruit all type of races, all type of religions, everybody, you know, and I have conversations and I ask questions. And so for me, that's part of the best feeling about being a coach.
I think what I've noticed from just the team, your staff, everybody respects, honors, looks at everybody with this open lens. I mean, anybody feels like they can walk up and talk to anybody about anything, and that is, you know, encouraging to see. I mean, I'm an outsider, if you would label me as that. I'm not on the staff, but I can walk in and I can talk to you about anything. I can talk to any of the coaches or players about anything. I walked in to the practice facility today and caught up with a couple of the guys real quick, and I think that's just the nature. And I know this has nothing to do. It has nothing to do with your skin color or your creed or your religion or whatever. At that point, you just got to be a good person and coach that up. And yes, it feels like that's one of the top priorities for you. Winning games, very important, but making great people and a great staff of great people is a huge piece of it as well.
When Alex Ricky Gilbert, our athletic director, when he hired me, you know, one of the first things they said to me had nothing to do with basketball. It was all about the character and who I was as a person. And so being able to address that, and he asked me, one of the key questions he asked me is, how do you treat young men that you coach? And I told him the first thing is I have a level of accountability, but at the same time, I'm tough on them, and I love them. Ultimately, they know each guy on our roster knows I love them to death. And so, like I said, being able to, you know, a head coach, that's a title. You know, like Jordan Mincy, head coach, that's a title. But just like, you know, Alex Ricky Gilbert says about our programs, you know, you have a softball team here now. They're family. You know, they're like a lot of our guys' hand-eye coordination, it was helped because Coach Ayers allowed for us to go – play softball with them. And so for us, JU is family. It don't matter who you are, what sport you play, what major you're in, you're family. And that's how our basketball program is. That's how all of our athletic programs across the board are. When you come to JU, you family. And whatever we can do to help one another, that's what we do.
One big family, maybe not so big family if you want to look at the size of the school, but that's what's beautiful about it, in the fact that it is so tight-knit. And it creates this atmosphere, especially amongst the students, to where they feel like they can kind of cross over, be a part of a bunch of different things. And we've certainly seen that on display throughout the course of this season. I mean, just look at Swisher Gym on a nightly basis. That feels like a big family reunion every time, with everyone cheering and going nuts. And we're hoping to see that throughout the course of the remainder of the season and, of course, into the spring sports as well. Athletes and students supporting each other throughout everything that they do. So that is Jacksonville University in a nutshell. Great to have all those representatives of those fine organizations out here tonight. Great to have the softball team out here tonight. Great to have everyone else supporting this show and Jacksonville University out here tonight, and hope to see them at Swisher Gym as Jacksonville hosts Eastern Kentucky on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and then Liberty is at Swisher Gym on Saturday night at 6. He's head coach Jordan Mincy. I'm Scott Manzi. This is True Talk with Coach Mincy on 1010XL. On the other side, we welcome head coach of the softball program, Erica Ayers, to join us here for a few minutes to talk about her team. You are listening to True Talk with Coach Mincy on 1010XL.
JU Dolphin Basketball on 1010XL.
Welcome back to True Talk with Coach Mincy here on this Monday night at Island Wing Company in Tinseltown. Scott Manzi, Jordan Mincy, And now head coach Erica Ayers of the softball program on with us as the softball team out here tonight getting ready to start off their season this weekend with the River City leadoff starting on Friday night. And, Coach, you like what Coach Ayers has got going on. You guys are neighbors now there in your respective buildings. What do you got about Coach? What do you think about her
first
style?
First off, I'll say this. I call Coach Ayers. She's not my neighbor. She's my homie. Coach Ayers is one of the best coaches that I've been around. And I'll say this. When you meet any of her young ladies on campus, you know, they speak the world of them. And if I'm ever blessed to have a daughter and she plays softball, she's going to play for Coach Ayers. I promise you that. You know, from the time I stepped on campus, she's been unbelievable. And she represents what JU is all about. When we talk about that family feel, we talk about that family environment, that's who she is. You know, like I tell her, and she probably doesn't know this, but I call her a walking legend. She's a living legend.
And so, you're like too kind, Jordan.
It's a blessing just to be next to her and to learn from her and to be able to, like I said, learn from her daily. So, Coach Harris, she the best.
Well, Coach, man, that was high praise coming in here early. But what has it been like, you know, working with Coach Mincy here in the early part of his tenure, his first year here on campus? And you've got a little more time under your belt now at JU, able to show him some of the ropes.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Jordan, you're very kind. I appreciate that very much. You're my homie, too. I love what he's doing with the basketball team. I love, you know, those guys, they play hard every night. They defend, like, and the best part about it, they look like they love playing with each other, you know, and that's what I hope people, when they come watch us play, that, you know, no quit, play hard, grind it out, and just enjoy every pitch and love playing together.
You all going to focus on defense the same way they have this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how we're built.
Pitching
like,
and D.
We always pitch and play defense. I think we're going to surprise some people, score some more runs this year, but, you know, I think that's what championship softball is all about, you know. Pitch and play defense and
a few runs. I've seen it on the diamond many, many times. Like if you can't find a way to pitch and get some stops defensively, you won't do it. Well, tell me about your team a little bit this year. Can we get into how they're shaping up? Obviously, you lost that COVID class, which is the one that everybody kind of got familiar with and saw over the years. And I mean, so many familiar names, some records set from that group as well. But what does this group look like for you heading into this 2022 campaign?
Yeah, these guys are exciting. They work tremendously hard. I'm excited. We got 11 new faces. So I just think I'm excited for them to make a name for themselves. A lot of talent, a lot of versatility. I think we're going to be exciting on the base paths. You know, a lot of new names that I think people are going to recognize here soon.
Do you have to break out the name tags at the beginning of practice for the first time in a while?
Sometimes, almost, man. Yeah.
What you got this River City leadoff coming up this weekend, NC State, Western Carolina, Campbell, FAMU coming into town, and then the Gators in the middle of next week. I mean, what a start. What a start for you all on the schedule this year. What are you hoping to see out of your group with that kind of challenging slate? But you get it at home, which is always a nice thing.
Yeah, for sure. We always like to challenge ourselves preseason. A-Sun softball is really, really competitive, and, you know, you want to – play the best, beat the best, you know, you gotta play them, you know, so we don't shy away from that. I think we'll learn a lot about ourselves through the first couple of weeks.
Coach, what are you hoping to see from the softball team this year when you get a chance? I know you can look out your window now and look right down in there at the first baseline and see what's going on. What are you hoping to see from softball this season?
We have this cool setup, you know, with new facility that we're able to kind of, you know, come out the back of our offices and lean over the fence and be able to kind of lean in. And so, you know, I learned something new. Every time I'm over the fence, I lean in. And, you know, the togetherness that she talks about, you can see that in her practice. Them being able to have the commitment to having fun and playing together, you can see that. And, like I said, it starts at the top with her. And, you know, every day when you talk about a certain energy level, especially in practice, man, if you come to Coach Ayers' practice, you're going to see a certain level of energy and commitment. And so, for me, like I said, I'm just excited to see them have the opportunity to play on Friday. Trust me, we'll be in the building. But, like I said, it'll be fun. It's going to be a fun season.
Coach, if you were to bring him onto your staff, what's he specializing in at that point?
Stay out the way.
No, well, I'm pumped up, man. He's a motivationalist.
There you go.
Yeah. He's giving the pregame speech, maybe.
Oh, man. I want to mess up anything. I'll stay out the way.
Well, it's great to have you on. Thank you for joining us here and for your team coming out. And we're looking forward to seeing you play, first of all, this weekend in the River City Leadoff at home at the Debbie and Fred Pruitt Softball Complex. Where things get started Friday night, 5 o'clock. You got a doubleheader starting with NC State, then Western Carolina after that. And it'll be fun to see softball, the hard ball, back out there again. I know it's technically called softball. That ball's still pretty hard.
Yeah, it's pretty hard.
And you slap it around and pick it and pitch it as well. So we'll be keeping an eye on softball season long. She's head coach Erica Ayers joining us here on True Talk with Coach Mincy. And appreciate you joining us here, Coach.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right. You brought up a little bit, Coach, seeing the view from your new facility, looking down from the Basketball Performance Center. You get to look over the softball field down in the valley. You've got just the new digs that you just walked into, basically, last week at about this time. Now, have you settled in? Do you know where everything is yet? I mean, how has it been getting in there and getting to practice a little bit and getting comfortable when it comes to that facility?
Scott, you used the right word when you said comfortable. You know, we finally kind of settled in. We've had a couple practices there. But I like to just say the outside setup, especially the walkway with the fence, I think it allowed for our spectators and also our fan base to have a different view of the softball field. And so I urge, you know, our fan base to come out and make sure they're there Friday to support our young ladies, to make sure that, you know, you check that out. You'll be able to see the practice facility, but at the same time, you get a great view of the complex. And so for us, it's been a blessing. It feels like home. Our guys are taking full advantage of it, and I think, you know, a guy like Bryce Workman, when he goes to the free throw line, it's because we're able to have multiple baskets now. And so he's not really a guy who, outside of practice time, is really going to work on those free throws. And so now we're able to fully max out on that practice time. And like I said, Coach AD, Alex Rick-Gilbert, did an unbelievable job of making sure that, you know, that building was there for our guys. And it's been a blessing for each one of our coaching staff, and then also the men's and women's teams as well.
I know you're an active guy. You like to get your steps walking around campus.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to walk very far to go to practice anymore, though. That's a problem, right? How are you making up for those lost steps, not having to walk from Botts Hall down to Swisher Gym?
So Alex called me the other day. He said he was showing some people around the practice facility, and he had walked into my office. And so when you walk into my office, off to the right in the corner, you'll see my Peloton.
Okay.
And so oftentimes, if I'm not, you know, viewing practice, softball practice, then I'm on a Peloton watching film, and at the same time trying to simulate my steps usually around campus. But like I said, you know, being able to have the opportunity to walk outside your office and see guys getting shots and see the commitment that they have to trying to get better, it's encouraging for you as a head coach. And like I said, it's an awesome experience to be able to have that as a recruiting tool, but also as a tool to be able to build relationships with our young men.
How about Pat Lewis, the director of basketball performance? He's got a new home there, a shiny new weight room. It's got glass that overlooks the practice floor. How has it been with Pat? I mean, I know he's probably got to be in hog heaven in that new facility as well. But, I mean, I walked in today. It was the tail end of practice. George Pridgett's in there getting a workout in. He's right next to where the guys are getting shots up. I mean, it's amazing seeing that all so tight together.
If you talk to Pat Lewis, you know, he's like a little kid in a candy store. You know, when you walk through the doors at 6 a.m., he's already in there. He's making sure that all the windows are clean, make sure all the weights are put in back in their correct spots. And like I said, he's already done an awesome job. But, you know, being able to have that brand-new weight room allows for him to have a different level of success with our guys off the court. It has nothing to do with hoops. And like I said, you can see the transformation that our guys have made with their bodies over the course of the last few months. But being able to have the new toys that's come with the building and come with the practice facility has allowed for him to take that to a different level. And so he's one of the most excited, if not the most excited individual on our staff.
He's head coach Jordan Mincy. I'm Scott Manzi here at Island Wing Company in Tinseltown, taking you up to about five or so more minutes left in this program here on this Monday night. It's been another fun one, this True Talk has been, as we heard from head coach of softball, Erica Ayers, a few moments ago. Some great representatives with softball and our black student organizations here in the house tonight, taking part in what we got going on. Well, I want to wrap things up here, Coach, with just kind of a look at some big picture stuff down the stretch with this program and really just basketball as a whole. I mean, college basketball, here we are. We've got in the JU season less than a month. I mean, basically 3 weeks left in the year, which is crazy to think about already that we're to this point. But and then conference tournament season will be getting underway. But what do you notice from your time as a coach, as a player, as the season grows long and you're getting into those final couple of weeks? You know, you're trying to stay healthy, right? You're trying to keep the body in shape. You know that each game means more, especially if you find yourself near the top of the standings, trying to jockey for position in the conference tournament. How did you handle, first as a player and now as a coach, kind of these waning moments of the season?
Well, first, Scott, I'll say this. The difference is when I first took the job, I had a head full of hair. I tell our guys I had all waves. And now my hair is thinned out because of the level of stress. I feel like I've been here like 2 years to try to make sure, because we demand a certain level of success from our guys. But, it's a great experience to be able to see how your team is kind of developed throughout the course of the year. You really came into the year, you know, first-time head coach, not really knowing what to expect. A lot of new faces, a lot of new guys, and being able to see how they've come together to try to form their identity, and the identity that, you know, I kind of preach to them every day what we want to be viewed as. And so they've done the best of their abilities trying to make sure that they live out and, you know, they show the type of identity that we have. But at the same time, we know going down the stretch, teams are going to play harder, especially going to the conference tournament. It's going to be a certain level that our guys have to elevate in order to accomplish the goals that we want as a program. And ultimately, it's to get to the NCAA tournament. And so our guys know every day we have to get better. We have to challenge ourselves to stay focused, not get bored with doing the basic necessities on the court. But at the same time, to want to be hungry and want to get better and challenge ourselves to stay engaged and follow the game plan and get better.
How did your body hold up as a player throughout the course of a season?
You know what? Our playing style is very similar to how I was as a player. And so I would grind myself out defensively. And so by the end of the year, I was tired. I was exhausted. Yeah. You know, body was banged up. I never really made any excuses, which is how a lot of our guys are. But, you know, you when you love something so much, I tell guys all the time, when you love something so much, you put everything into it. You put your time, you put your effort, you put your mental focus into it. And so, you know, our guys love the game. They want to be better. They want to max out. And so, obviously, at the end of the year, I want them to be physically and mentally exhausted from being able to push themselves to get to that certain level that they want to get to.
And let's be honest, you're not an old man, but the recovery procedures have advanced a little bit since you played as well, right?
Yes. You know, Lenny's Morejo, our athletic trainer, she does an unbelievable job of making sure our guys are getting treatment, they're getting recovery. You know, I had a great trainer, Trent Stratton. He's still there at Kent State University.
Nice.
But, you know, we were more so, hey, Jordan, get a bag of ice. You know, take care of
yourself.
Get a good night of rest, and then be ready to go for practice tomorrow. And so, you know, technology's changed a lot since those days, and our guys take full advantage of it. And we have a great staff that makes sure those guys get a high level of recovery, and so we're blessed to have that.
Yeah, a little bit more than just ice these days, and it's good to see. I mean, guys using the massage guns, and they got the I don't even know what the moon boot things are. But
every day they got those on. Every day.
It's amazing. It has been cool to see the development of that over the course of the years, and, hey, it's helped a lot of these players come back, be better than ever, be ready to bounce back at any point in the season and give their all. All right, well, speaking of bounce back and give their all, well, we'll have to wait till the next time to see how we do and how we recover, because this one is in the books. We want to remind everybody that coming up this week, two games at home, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock tip, Eastern Kentucky in Swisher Gym, then Jacksonville hosts Liberty on Saturday night at 6 p.m. So both of those at home at Swisher. Hope to see you out there. If you can't make it out, you can listen to both games right here on 1010XL. For head coach Jordan Mincy, and for the softball head coach Erica Ayers, who also joined us as well this segment, I'm Scott Manzi saying so long. Thanks to Matt LaVey back in the 1010XL studios for pushing the buttons and making us sound good. I'm Scott Manzi. This has been another episode of True Talk with Coach Mincy on 1010XL.